promotional fee has been paid by the sponsor of this program. For its editorial content, statements, views, and beliefs expressed by the sponsor do not reflect those of WOKV or Cox Media Group.
The following hour is brought to you by Madden Advisory Services.
Information presented on this program is believed to be factual and up-to-date, but we do not guarantee its accuracy, and it should not be regarded as a complete analysis of subjects discussed. Discussions and answers to questions do not involve the rendering of personalized investment advice, but is limited to the dissemination of general information. A professional advisor should be consulted before implementing any of the options presented. Madden Advisory Services, Inc. is registered as an investment advisor with the SEC and only transacts business in states where it is properly registered or is excluded or exempt from registration requirements.
Helping to make our community a better place. This is the WOKV Ask the Experts Weekend, discussing the things that matter most to you. Have a question? Have it answered by our local experts. Call 340-1045. That's 340-1045. Now, Smart Money on News 104.5 WOKV. Here are your hosts, Hank Madden, Michelle Barron, and Brian Hughes.
Joe Jacksonville, welcome back to Smart Money Live, hour two on a warming Saturday day. You're listening to News 104.5 WOKV. Smart Money time is 11:08. Yes, lines are open, 340-1045. That's 340-1045. So call and call now. And as the beautiful, exotic, loving creature that she is, Mystic Minx will tell you, area code 904. Did you know
even if you save with a traditional prepaid plan and your child decides to attend private school, you can usually transfer an amount equal to what would be paid to the public school your plan is designed for. You're just responsible for the difference. You can save to cover any expected shortfall by supplementing your prepaid plan with a 529 savings plan.
Super. Okay, let's go back to, and what did I just do to my screen? Yo, Scotty.
William's on four.
Let's go back to William. William.
Okay, I'm here.
Great. Thank you for holding over. I know that takes a lot of patience, and the same with Greg and the rest of you guys and gals.
Oh, no, I mowed the grass and weeded the garden and everything while you were on.
Okay. Michelle and Brian brought up some good points, and really, I'm going to be quiet and let you guys answer what we were saying as far as your RMD distributions.
Let me just start off with a question, William. What year were you born?
40.
And what year was your wife born?
77.
Okay.
Now you're getting personal.
Go, William.
Hold on. I was trying to
it's
do the more calculation.
Than 10, it's more than 10 years.
I realized that. Hold on one second. I was going to calculate what that distribution really should be.
The room's getting smoky. Michelle's doing some high complicated math right now.
No,
the wheels are burning.
I just wanted to run the numbers and see where you were at. So ultimately, because Brian and I were talking about this in the break, ultimately, you did pay what you should have paid using the correct calculations, assuming that your spouse is more than 10 years younger.
Right.
Okay. So definitely, you need to go talk to a CPA. I would have them work on it because it is a royal pain in the butt to try to work with the IRS. But I mean, you're not going to have any penalty or anything like that because you calculated it correctly. And then I would go back to...
We hope he calculated it correctly.
Well, I just did that. I did it on a 60,000 balance, put those ages in, and I'm coming up with 1,401. So, I mean, that's really close with this number.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm assuming you did that calculation correctly.
Well, I didn't do it. The brokerage firm did it, and they first said it was around 3,000, and then... But then they came back later with 1,500, but they sent in the 3,000 to the IRS, but gave me the 1,500. Actually, it didn't come to me; it went to a charity or to the church. So, anyway, they're the ones who did it at Scottrade, and they calculated for you. And I think they did it right. They just messed up in what they reported to the IRS.
Did you talk to them and ask them for an amended statement?
Oh, my gosh, yes, I have.
All right.
Done that, and they said, we can't do that.
All right.
Why?
They just say, we can't do that. And, you know, they've just been bought by TD Ameritrade.
Yeah. Yeah. And sued by Massachusetts just last week for violation of fiduciary rules. But, yeah, go. We would go find a CPA and probably another brokerage.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Okay. I'll charge Scott Trade for the CPA then.
Good luck, but I wouldn't sit there and hold my breath.
Yeah, right. Okay, the other question I have is this. We have a family trust, and I was taking money out of the a checking account to buy CDs, and in order to buy the CDs with an online brokerage, they don't accept family trust, so I just have to just take the money out of the checking account and send it to them and buy a CD just in my name and my wife's name instead of through the trust. Is there a problem with that you see?
Probably depends on how the trust is written. Is it a living trust?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I don't know why there would be a problem.
I wouldn't think there would be. I would, and I'm sure you can put the trust as beneficiary on that account so it just flows back through.
Oh, I see. That's interesting. Okay.
Well, I'm guessing.
You should be able to.
They don't have what they call beneficiaries. They just have another name on the trust. I put my wife's name on it, so it's.
And did you buy the CD with a bank?
With Capital One.
Okay.
They had the best rates.
So you might be able to ask them if they have what's called either a transfer on death or a payable on death designation. Mm-hmm. It facilitates the same thing, but they just may not be telling you because you're not using their terminology.
That's true. I'm trying to learn this terminology. Okay. Well, that sounds great. I really appreciate your help. Listen to you every week.
Thank you so much, William. God bless. Take care of yourself. And Thank you for your tithing to your church.
Oh, well, good. Yeah, that works out for both of us.
Yeah, it does.
Okay.
Take care, my friend. God bless.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yo, Greg.
Greg.
And, Greg, I really built you up. I was telling you how patient you were to listen to us. Are you still there?
Hang on. Hello?
Yes.
Hang on. Let me get my wife. Say that again.
Okay. That patient part?
Okay. You want to take money out of a 401k and put it in a 529 without tax penalties. Is that right?
Right. And I'm 58, so I wouldn't have the penalty, but I just know.
You got to be 59 and a half.
Wait, did you leave your company after your age? Are you still at that company, that the 401k?
I thought it was 55. What's 55?
So there is a rule of 55 on a 401k,
yes.
But it's when you leave a company, you have to be over age 55,
and then you can take. Okay.
But if you're still with that company, or if you left before you're 55, or it's in an IRA, then 59 and a half is your magic number.
Well, that's it then, 59 and a half.
Okay.
All right.
16 months.
Okay, so what are you trying to do here?
Well, I was going to fund 2529. Or grandkids,
yeah.
And there's several ways to do it. What I would like to do, I've got some fund in my 401 that's one of those low risk, low yield types. I was going to take the money out of that, but if taxes and penalties could make that not workable. I just wonder what you thought about it.
The answer is I wouldn't do it. There's another comment that I want to make about how you're looking at your assets. I think the first thing I would do, how much money is in there?
In the whole fund?
Yeah, in 401k.
A little over $500,000.
Okay.
How much were you thinking of taking out? Or will you be thinking of taking out in 15 months?
I think it would be around $40,000 for both of them. I haven't done one in a while. 20 years ago, I haven't done one in a while. So,
$40,000 a piece or $40,000 aggregate?
Aggregate.
Okay. Just a couple of thoughts. First, you have an amount large enough. Do you have a formal written asset allocation that defines your portfolio investment policy by yield, quantifiable risk, which is standard deviation, timeline, and then by asset classes?
No.
All right.
But I'm doing pretty good.
Well, you're doing pretty good because you've enjoyed an up market. Are you beating the S&P 500?
I am.
You are?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Now, you're going to be the example I'm going to give, because I'll get this from husbands from time to time.
Are you picking on us husbands today?
Because they do it.
No.
They deserve it.
They're the ones who do this. I'll get a call. My wife's IRA is not keeping pace with the IRA or with the S&P 500, and we're going to have to go ahead and make some changes. Okay, that's all well and good, but here's the deal. First off, we do use the S&P. I would probably think in almost all of our portfolios as the correlator to compare the portfolio's performance to the benchmark being the S&P 500. But here's where it gets interesting. When you do that, you do it also based upon a little critter known as beta. Have you ever heard of that animal?
I've seen it on, if you go to Yahoo Finance or something,
okay.
I see beta, yeah.
But
I'm not sure
you don't really pay that much attention to it.
I do not.
Okay, you should. There are several ways that you can manage risk in a portfolio. Beta is just one of them. What am I talking about? Beta is the relationship of your portfolio to a stated benchmark, in this case, the S&P 500, okay? If your beta is 1.0, that's pretty much a neutral position, meaning the portfolio and the benchmark should perform identical, all right?
Right.
Now, but here's the catch. When you say that, do you know what the potential risk, that's the up and down, the highs and lows could be?
I look at the 52-week numbers.
I'm talking about for the S&P 500. Do you know, it's called standard deviation, what the standard deviation is?
No, I do not, yeah.
Okay.
I know the term, but I've never actually calculated it.
Okay. Would you feel comfortable if I put you in a portfolio that the risk was, 38 to 40% up and down?
No.
Okay. Well, guess what? The standard deviation for the S&P 500 is that. Now, if you want to beat it, then you're going to create a beta greater than 1, like 1.3, 1.5, which says on the upside, you'll outperform it 30 to 50%. Hoorah, hoorah, right? Charge,
right.
Fix bayonets, and let's go. Well, guess what? If it goes up that 30-50, you know what else it's going to do?
I don't.
It's going to go down that much when the market goes down. And you can say, no, wait a minute. That's not going to happen because I'm going to know when to get out of the market, and I'll sell and go to a cash position. That's called market timing. Over 80-some-odd years, if you're 98% accurate on timing, you will at best tie or lose by a fraction to T-bills. Did you know that?
I didn't.
Well, number of studies.
Timing. I don't do market timing either. I'm not good at that.
Well, so that means you would ride it out. So if you want to be more on the conservative side, which generally our clients are, then we would create a beta less than 1, like something like 0.6, 0.7, and what you're saying there is, in essence, I'm willing to take some off the top to move it down to the bottom. So when the markets go down, I'm not going to go down as far. Consequently, when they turn, I'm going to go up and move up faster. So you can use the S&P 500, but it's the beta that determines how that's really going to impact your portfolio. And you're right. Most husbands will say, once they understand it, no, I wouldn't subject my portfolio, much less my wife's, to that kind of risk. But when you stand up there and crow, I'm beating the S&P 500, you're really accepting a tremendous amount of risk. And that concerns me when you look at your portfolio. So I don't think your wife would allow you to run to Lowe's and say, honey, I'll be back in a minute. What are you going to do? I'm going to take about $100,000, and Lowe's got a lot of different stuff on sale. I'm going to go back, go buy it, and come back and build something. Do you think she might have a little something to say about that?
I'm sure.
Okay. Well, guess what? That's what you did with $500,000, in essence.
Well,
you
that's why I'm looking to, I don't know if it's called diversifying, but I'm looking to spread this out a little more.
Well, it's called diversify. Well, it's called, but it's how you diversify that counts.
Right.
Well, and to tie it together, that's what Hank is saying is if you say, I'm going to take the lowest yielding asset and I'm going to send it off to, a 529 account, to tie it together, what you're doing is you're picking probably picking bonds or something like that, which serve in your account a purpose. They serve to diversify your portfolio, and they serve to keep that beta lower than one and reduce how much risk and kind of smooth things out over time. So,
right, but it's still only about 30% of what's in that fund. I mean, it's not like I'm picking
doesn't
everything.
Doesn't matter. I'm going to have to put you on hold, Greg, if that's okay, and we'll come back and tidy this up.
Okay, thank you.
Folks, you're listening to News 104.5 WOKV. It's 11:24. Did you know?
Did you know many people are worried that they will lose all of their prepaid savings if their child doesn't go to college? But that's not so. Stay tuned in to learn the facts. You're listening to Smart Money, brought to you by Madden Advisory Services, right here on News 104.5 WOKV.
Jacksonville, welcome back to Smart Money. You're listening to News 104.5 WOKV, 11:28. It's the time, did you know?
Did you know if your child elects not to go to college, you will not lose everything in your Florida prepaid plan? A few options exist if this happens to you. First, you can pass the plan on to a sibling. If that's not a good option, you can request a refund of the principal. In some cases, you may be charged a cancellation fee. However, the bulk of your principal investment would be returned.
Super. Okay. Greg, are you still there? Greg?
Hello?
Greg?
Hello?
Yes. Are you there? You're there.
I am here.
Okay. Listen, I'm going to ask you to do what you indicated in the very beginning, because I've got less than 60 seconds.
Okay.
I was a motor mouth, but that's okay. Can you hold through this break and then have your wife come so we can tell her how patient you have been in looking out for her welfare?
Okay, that's a deal.
Okay.
I'll hold. Thank you.
All right, buddy. We're going to put you on hold, and then it'll make sense when we come back on the other side, and also for the rest of you guys and gals out there, how we looked at this case. Hang on. Okay. Jacksonville, we're getting ready to take an information timeout, bring you up-to-date Fox National News, local weather, traffic patterns for the Jacksonville area. And then we're going to be right back to Greg and follow up and tidy up his portfolio and how we should look at this. You're listening to News 104.5 WOKV. Again, lines are open, 340-1045. Did you know?
Did you know some people think that if you open a prepaid plan, you can't have another 529 plan? But that's not so. Stay tuned in to learn the facts. You're listening to Smart Money, brought to you by Madden Advisory Services, right here on News 104.5 WOKV.
Jacksonville, welcome back to Smart Money. You're listening to, 904.5. It is 11:36, and yes, lines are open.
904.5?
Did I say 904?
Yeah.
My radio dial doesn't go that high.
No. How about 11:04? At least I didn't say it was
10:30. It's 104.5.
Yes, what did I say? 11. I had time on my mind. Okay, anyway, it is, pick a time, whatever suits you, I don't care. It's 104.5. Yes, lines are open, 340-1045. How'd you like that one? 340-1045, and it's the beautiful Mystic Minx. We'll tell you 904 area code. So call and call now. Did you know?
Did you know you can enroll in both the Florida prepaid plan and a 529 savings plan? This actually might come in handy since a savings plan typically covers additional expenses that a prepaid plan doesn't cover, like textbooks and supplies.
Say that fast.
I can't, but I want you to know I practiced many times this morning saying Florida prepaid plan.
I'm telling you. Try and say it fast, folks. It's a mouthful. Okay. Greg has been so tolerant of us. Yo, Greg.
I'm here.
Is your wife there?
She's not.
Oh, dear. Well,
I'm
you know what's nice?
Go ahead.
You can go online and you can get the show afterwards and see. Listen, see where they said how nice and patient I was? Because you
I'm
are.
Gonna do it.
And considerate for your wife and her well-being. Okay, several questions came up. And rather than me rant and rave like I did for the first half hour, Michelle, Brian, you guys.
All righty, Greg. I do have some questions, just following up to some of the things that Hank has already started talking to you about. But he didn't ask a question in regards to your current retirement and how that's shaping up. Did you mention if you're still working?
I am.
Okay. And outside of your 401k, do you have other assets that you have saved?
I do, yeah. I mean, have like five different funds or whatever.
Okay, so you think that you have a really good chance that you're going to be covered for retirement? There's no chance that you would possibly run out of funds for you and your wife for your existence?
Unless something, you know, drastic happens, I would say we're fine.
I mean, I think that should be one of the considerations when you're looking at, you know, going between a retirement account and a 401k. I will say that, you know, your grandchildren will have the opportunity to, you know, try for scholarships. They'll have the ability to take out student loans, but nobody gives loans for retirement.
Good point.
So, you know, with looking at that, I think that's one of the considerations, especially going from the 401k plan to the 529. I mean, both of them are going to offer tax deferred growth. And so, you know, I would just think keeping it in your 401k at this point, and then when your grandchildren are to that point, if you feel like, you know, that's not going to put you in jeopardy or your wife in jeopardy to be able to meet your goals, then you could just take that money out at that point in time and alleviate any taxes that would be, or potentially additional taxes that would be associated with it, I should say.
I thought of that, except the inflation on the tuition and the cost. I mean, that's one thing about the 529 is you kind of lock it in.
Well, it depends on which 529. If you're doing a 529A, which is the prepaid plan, yes. But if you do just the traditional, what we think of as a 529, the savings account, you're not. You're investing. But another point on that is the stock market and investments historically outpace inflation.
Yeah.
But that doesn't necessarily mean education inflation.
You know, medical costs and education costs kind of have their own.
They do. You're right.
So.
Okay, but now let's talk about the taxes aspect of it, though. So since you're still working, is your wife working?
No, she's retired.
Okay, and what would you say your current income is?
Gross is it's over $100,000.
Okay, so if you took out $40,000 of this plan, and we're assuming that you're not going to do this until after you hit 59 and a half, if you took out that money, that would be added on top of your current income. So that's probably going to put you, you know, into the 22% tax bracket.
Right. Well, that was the whole point of my call. If I have to pay the taxes, it's not going to happen. It's just too expensive.
Didn't you say you had five other accounts?
Well, I have. Yeah, I have a pension fund that's, I guess, it rolls into a annuity at some point. Yeah. And then I've got a Roth. I got a money market, and then I hold some commodities.
Commodities like precious metals?
Precious metals.
Okay. Right. How much is in the money market?
I'd rather not say. It's a lot. Because you'd get mad.
Now, you know, I've learned in over time that it depends on the reasons for that money. You know, if you have plans that you would spend it in the next 5 years, then you don't want to subject it to the stock market, because market risk is your greatest risk. If your time for that money would be longer than 5 years, then that risk definition changes from market to purchasing power, which says, now I've got a whole different category of assets I want to look at.
Right.
So cash is something
Obama
makes you feel
good. Well, with Obama in office, that was never an issue. Nothing was going on. So I kind of broke even on it.
Well, I just I think a couple of things. You've thrown out other issues that would be important in your planning. I've got a pension that's going to be an annuity. Many times they're offering you a buyout on the pension as opposed to taking the annuity. That would enable you to create a legacy fund for the family, not only for you and your wife if properly invested, but then something you can pass on to the children. If you take the annuity, depending upon what option, it may cover just you or it may cover you and your wife. That's a consideration. You've got then the rollout of your 401k. I wouldn't leave it there. I would go to a self-directed IRA. And with the assets that you're talking about, I definitely would sit down with a fee-only financial planner, and we would define that as a CFP, Certified Financial Planner, that is independent of any of the wirehouses. That way, they don't get pulled into the demands that the wirehouse can place on them for utilizing certain investment preferences. They're totally independent. They work strictly for you. Okay?
Okay.
So you've got a great opportunity there. Your precious metals, are you doing that for an inflationary? Are you doing it because I like to collect them? Or my precious metal collection is really my wife's jewelry?
No, it's
Well, that may make her happy.
Well, that's true. She likes the clear, shiny ones rather than the gold ones, though.
Yeah. Clear, shiny ones have really done well long term if they are of high quality.
It was just something I haven't purchased any in a while. It was just something to hold, I guess. Yeah. It's more insurance. I don't even track the price of gold. I don't even keep up with it. But I've got them if I need them. You know, they're just kind of safe. So.
Okay.
More insurance than anything.
Okay. You know, I think we've given you a lot to think about. When you get to that point of looking at firms, we would love for you to take a look at us.
I will. I had an appointment with you last year, and I couldn't make it. I had to cancel it. So I'll get back with that.
All right. Good thing. Well, listen, Greg, God bless. Thank you for your listening patience. And your wife should be very proud of you to have a husband that's that concerned over her and your family's well-being.
Well, I'm going to make sure she hears you say that.
Okay, my friend. Take care.
Thank you for taking my call. Y'all have a good day.
Bye-bye. Okay, folks, we're going to take an information timeout. You're listening to News 104.5 WOKV. It's 11:45. Yes, lines are open, 340-1045. That's 340-1045. And as the Mystic Mink says, area code 904. Did you know?
Did you know some people worry that if they move out of Florida that they will lose the investment they made in the Florida prepaid plan? But that's not so. Stay tuned in to learn the facts. You're listening to Smart Money, brought to you by Madden Advisory Services, right here on News 104.5 WOKV. If you'd like to learn more about us or the services that we provide, check us out at maddenadvisory.com.
Jacksonville, welcome back to Smart Money. You're listening to News 104.5 WOKV. Smart Money time is 11:50. Did you know?
Did you know state residency is required to purchase a prepaid plan, but it is not required to keep one? If you or your child move out of state at some point, no problem. Your plan will continue as if you never left the state where the plan was purchased. If your child attends a state college or state university where the plan was purchased, they will be considered an in-state student.
Okay. Before we go to our next caller, there was a article, or is an article, in today's Wall Street that I found very interesting to read. And the title of it is, it's in the review section, front page of the review section, The Closing of the Academic Mind. And it is how we have become today at our colleges incapable of having an intelligent discussion or debate on different ideas. Today, if you have a different idea, you are shunned, and very, in some cases, very violently. If you are conservative, you have to pay ridiculous security costs. And then there's no guarantee that you can pull off your speaker. And this is not restricted just to colleges, as Brian brought out. You know, go to the Senate, go to the House. Both of those are good examples where nobody is willing to listen. Look in your own circle of friends, how easy it is for you to bring up controversial topics that you may disagree on. And I bring this to your attention for the direction that we're going in today, where we have a large portion of the largest segment of our society that is a secular group, and that also has strong leanings towards socialism. So what happens to America, to the American dream, and what we were founded on? We as a country have got to really look at ourselves, whether you're conservative, are you willing to listen? Now think about it. Are you really willing to listen to the opposing ideas and do so with an open mind that you will seek to identify with what they're saying and not interrupt? And at the same time, if you're a liberal, the same thoughts. Are you willing to listen to your conservative friend with an open mind, seeking to identify, not to judge, nor interrupt, and then having a discussion? We have got to change where we are. Just simple. We cannot survive as a nation. We have our immigration society that is becoming more and more focused on their standards and ideals, beliefs as immigrants, as opposed to assimilating to become an American, where we embrace multiple ideas and attitudes. And that has a far, far reaching effect on our businesses, our homes, our communities, schools, our churches. We have really got to stop, folks, and take a look and start setting up intelligent, respectful boundaries. So think about it. If you get a chance, read the article. It's a long article, but worthy of its length. Okay. So having said that, Larry, South Carolina, question about a mutual fund.
Yes, sir. I talked to you about a month ago in regard to the idea of investing about $220,000 in possibly a mutual fund, exchange-traded funds. I don't know what the difference is, but it's apparently about the same idea. You advised me to try to talk to somebody who was a fee-only agent individual, and I did, and they informed me that it would cost me about 2% of whatever I was investing for him to advise me. And subsequently, I talked to an individual with Charles Schwab, and he said, showed me what he could do. I think that he said that they would charge me less than 1% for this, whatever that they did for is investing whatever funds that I invested with them. And we discussed whether, you know, what a high yield fund, what he called a high yield fund. I think a high yield fund was something like around 2.5%. That didn't seem very high yield to me. And of course, the middle road one, and then the most secure one, low yield that it hardly made 1%. So that's the situation. In any case, I'm ready to try to do something after this last thing with the market going down. So I looks like I'm investing when it goes up backwardsly. And however, I'm a little concerned about what you brought up in the beginning of the show in regards to inflation, because as I see it, not that I'm an accountant or anything resembling that. However, I've watched what happens when they start raising the interest rates and people ask for bigger salaries and everything begins costing more. And pretty soon you got high interest rates for everything you borrow and inflation is going up like gangbusters. So I'm ready to listen.
you feel better, Larry?
Yes, sir, I do. At least I got it all out.
Yes, you did. And quite eloquently, I might say.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. Either one of you guys?
Go ahead.
I mean, I don't think inflation's going up like gangbusters. It's 2.1%.
Yeah. Larry, I agree with what Brian just said. If you listen to the dialogue, that was the whole point, that we don't see inflation as a major issue. We see it as something very manageable. And in creating an allocation, if you stick to just bonds, you're in trouble, or low-yielding instruments like that. It needs to be diversified. If you're comfortable with Schwab and dealing business with them over the telephone, then you're going to have limited service, but that is a good recourse for you. That music says, we've got to go, my friend. I'm sorry. Ran out of time. Would have to pick this up next week. Folks, listen, if nobody said they cared about you today, know that Michelle, Brian, the Mystic Minx, and I truly do. Always remember, the greatest investment that you'll ever make is that special time that you're going to spend with your friends and family. It's not an asset set on any balance sheet, but one that has the greatest memory and value. Our American fighting men and women and their families throughout the world, God bless you. Thank you for your sacrifices for us to keep us free. And our first responders, that is our police force, JSO, St. John's County, Highway Patrol, our firemen and EMTs, God bless you. Thank you for your sacrifices that you make daily for us, that we may live in a safe community. Folks, take care. Always remember that this is a day that was created for you by Christ Jesus, our Savior. You honor Him by kneeling before Him. You honor our country by standing and saluting our flag. Try to do something that would be good for Christ today, and you'll be amazed at how it will help you. Folks, we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.